Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Nordman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nordman.
More suggestions for Alex Stroh to get a haircut that looks serviceable for his wedding Saturday, as we've all laid eyes on the worst haircut that's been given to mankind today. Kyle Brusten Nordman across ESPN Wisconsin, 800-990-3776. More likely in these next three divisional games, they go 0-3. Just kidding. 1-2 or 3-0? Because Jason chimes in right away and says 0-3, and that ain't happening. That is not happening. Despite however you feel about this football team, if they go 0-3, Matt LaFleur's gone.
They're not making the playoffs.
They're not making the playoffs. They have a 77% chance to make the playoffs, but they are tied with the Bears with the toughest schedule the rest of the way throughout the season.
And the Bears had probably the Bears had a very light schedule.
They did have a very light schedule. So now they're either going to prove we are who they thought they were, which is frauds, which I think will be proven, or that their stupid chant that they do is going to be heard more, which I don't think will happen. The Packers, though, I mean, this is a Matt LaFleur-led team that has finished under 500 one time. And so it'd be pretty damning in his seventh season after building upon something to go backwards at this point. Now, there are some factors that have sucked for them in terms of injuries, but a lot of teams have injuries, but one of them being critical with Tucker Kraft. The offensive line's been banged up and hasn't played well. Jaden Reed still not practicing. He will be great to have back. But the defense is something where each week they're going to, I know there's been one or two games where it's been frustrating for that defense, but there's a confidence that I have that the defense will keep you in every game. So this question goes, how much do you believe in Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love against the Bears and the Lions? And not to look out of the Vikings, but again, J.J. McCarthy, I think, is horrendous. So 1-2 or 3-0 do you have more confidence in?
Boy, I'm going to say 3-0, but I really have nothing to justify it. The only thing I can say is, this team is underperforming what they should be doing to a point where I just think mean reversion must occur. And I think if there's ever a time to wake up, it's now. Toyota-thon's beginning, of course, so that means Jordan Love's going to turn it on. I don't see any way the Packers lose this game to the Vikings. Now, of course they could, but I just do not see it.
I'm trying not to do that because I've done that a couple times, like vocally even early about Joe Flacco. I watched Joe Flacco scramble away from the Ravens, and he couldn't get away because he's, you know, almost elder abuse. I just can't even do that for as bad as I feel J.J. McCarthy is because of them playing to the level of competition.
They do that.
Do I think there's an opportunity, and I feel positive that this is the game? Yes, but we've all said that.
That's totally true. My bigger concern for the 3-0 or 1-2 is Thanksgiving and the Lions after. The Bears after. Thanksgiving, of course, you've already beaten the Lions, and they're playing much better football than they were in week one. So it's going to be a tough game.
Are they? They're 6-4.
Yeah, but they're playing better than they were that first week, I would say. They figured out slightly more than who they are. They've had a tougher schedule than the Green Bay Packers.
They beat the worst opponents and can't beat the good ones, like the Packers of last year.
It's also hard to beat a divisional opponent twice in your conference, so that's going to be tough. And then the Bears are they make this Packer game their Super Bowl. That can either work for them or work against them. I'm going to go with 3-0 because I think this team finally does turn it around. They are underperforming who they are and what they should be doing. So I think that the defense stays consistent, keeps them in every game, and Jordan Love and the offense do turn it on to another level after being a little bit in a lull these last couple weeks. So I'm going with 3-0.
You also sound so confident.
If they go 1-2, they're not making the playoffs either.
Yeah, he sounds very not confident, but I'm confident the Green Bay Packers go 3-0 a lot more than 1-2. I mean, the Green Bay Packers are a good football team. In the Chicago Bears, they're not trash. They're not a bad team, but they have beat absolutely no one this year. Like, legitimately, they've had a lot of close games against a lot of bad football teams. So all it's showing is that they're the king of the bad football teams, and luckily for them, they play a lot of bad football games. Not one team they've beaten on their schedule is over 500. What does that tell me? Is that they're not a very good football team. Remember the Packers last year? We couldn't beat good teams, but we could beat the bad ones.
I almost feel like the same goes for the Lions, too.
Well, it does. does go for the Lions. The Lions have not beaten the, they only beat one team over 500. That's the Buccaneers. That's the only team over 500.
And that game was 24-9, and Dan Campbell took over play calling because he didn't even like how they played.
And so all I'm saying is that, yes, the Green Bay Packers are not a juggernaut whatsoever, but the competition that's in front of them, the NFC North is tough, but they're not great. The NFC North isn't the leader like they were last year with so many good teams winning 13 games and 14 games and 15. That ain't the case this year. The Green Bay Packers are more than likely to go 3-0 based off the fact that the division isn't that great. And yes, the Lions game, that is going to be a challenge because the Lions will have something to play for. What position in NFC North? Their backs are against the wall right now. They are a whole game behind the Chicago Bears, and they have the Green Bay Packers who have the tiebreaker currently right now because we beat them.
They're a half game up. It's not even a tiebreaker.
They're half game up, but still also – they have the tiebreaker, and you know, I guess they won't tie unless the Lions tie at this point. It doesn't really matter.
Correct.
But the Green
That's
Bay,
kind of what I'm
getting
at.
But the Green Bay Packers understand, and the Lions understand that that is a huge game for both of them because whoever wins that game is going to be in the driver's seat to be able to win the NFC North. So it's not the NFC North championship game, but it's going to have those type of things around it simply because I don't believe in Chicago Bears. So to sit here and say that this team more than likely will be 1-2 is foolish. You're putting way too much into what the Vikings have not done, into what the Bears have not done, and the Lions have not done. Nobody there has impressed us enough to believe that this team can't go 3-0 against them. The Packers are a good football team. And when you look at it, they're the best quarterback in the NFC North.
So what I'm battling in my head right now is, like, I do believe, like, I'm probably closer to 3-0 than 1-2. Like, what's more likely, taking out the 2-1 scenario? But I keep doing this under the umbrella of the other teams, right? Like, the other teams are this. But looking inward, they've kind of showed of being, like, one of those other teams part of this muck as well. So it's scary to say a team would go undefeated, but it's also hard for me to say that they go 1-2 against the Vikings, which I truly, truly just do not believe. They don't believe in their quarterback. They don't. Like, that's the thing. Is what's different between me calling out Joe Flacco versus J.J. McCarthy is Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, and he's got a pedigree, knows how to throw the football in the NFL. J.J. McCarthy doesn't. There'll be takeaways to be had this coming week. The Lions, I think that's a toss-up. And I just don't believe in them until they prove otherwise. And the Bears, they're just fraudulent.
Extremely fraudulent.
It goes back to,
But the Packers.
The Packers aren't fraudulent. They're inconsistent.
I didn't say they were fraudulent. But saying when you're inconsistent, it's hard to put somebody in the 3-0 category when you're as inconsistent as they've been.
Well, the thing that provides a little bit of hesitation in me, I'm going to go with 3-0. I mean, this is the worst three-game stretch they've had of the season. Between the Panthers, the Eagles, and the Giants, probably the worst three-game performance the Packers have had. So we're banking on a little bit of a turnaround, a little bit of a recorrection. And we talk about all these other teams and say, like, the Lions, comparatively to the Lions of previous years, this is a down Lions team. The Bears, fraudulent. I agree with you. The Vikings, they're fraudulent. Or they're just
not good. They're just not good.
The Packers, the only way this doesn't work out is if they
beat themselves. That's
right. But they do beat themselves. They should go 3-0. They really should. They beat themselves.
I'm telling you this right now. I understand you got more games left. I think you got 6 games left in the regular season this year, and all 6 games are going to be important. But these next 3 games against the NFC North will determine exactly what direction the Green Bay Packers are going in. That's why, as a Packers fan, you should be definitely excited for everything in front of them. And Matt LaFleur hopefully understands all that inconsistency that you saw from the guys. You got to get that cleaned up at this point because this is a stretch that extremely is important for you, and it's great that it's set up this way that your football team has an opportunity late in the season to know exactly what needs to get done. You're not just thinking about a playoff berth. You're thinking about getting back to the NFC North. And I said going into this season, before I didn't care.
It is important.
This team ain't won diddly squat poop. All right, so now it's time to win something, and the NFC North is right there to be had, and the Green Bay Packers need to capitalize on it, and it needs to be behind.
It gets you a home game. It gets you an opportunity to not do the same route you've had the last 2 years of going on the road in the playoffs.
It gets you to say, okay, here, we're back. We are the kings of the North again.
And believe it or not, that is important from an internal standpoint of this team as well, because it's something that they have not felt since Rodgers has left. That would mean something to this team.
Been 3+ years now.
And it used to be easy money. It used to be every single year, basically.
Jason chimes in on the Carbless Talk and text line. If the Packers go 3-0, I'll go get a haircut from the barber Strofe went to.
All right, be ready. Be ready.
That's so good.
Oh, that's really good.
Strofe, you gonna recommend her? It's old Smoke Hands.
I can tell you about service that I know I can trust, like not Strofe's barber who just butchered his head. It's Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin because I got my whole first floor windows done with Gina's team and it was just flawless. The windows are amazing. And I also got the front door. And there's just one small thing. And as soon as I reached out, I had a text message from one of their field managers who's scheduling time, accommodating me, making sure I can do it, fits within my schedule to come in and fix the minor problem. Like, that's the service that you get. You're not going to be like, well, we have another window project going on, so we can't get to you in 2 months for your little thing. No, you get high quality with the windows, with the warranties, with the financing, plus you get the service on the back end. And what do they got going on? It's something real good.
I mean, 0% interest for 72 months. That's just Pella Windows and Doors trying to give out their version of a Black Friday deal. You cannot get this at any time. I'm telling you, 6 years of 0% interest, you're going to get those beautiful, durable, customizable windows and doors from Pella, all at 0% interest for 72 months. So don't wait. Give them a call. Visit them online. Go to the Experience Center and become inspired by what Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin can provide for you.
We do this thing on Kyle, Bruston, Ortman, and specifically Strofe and Brad, where when they have an opportunity to take over a segment, they hype it up to the level of like, has it ever lived up to your expectations?
Rarely does
it. I'd say 1% of the time.
Yeah, that's probably
I'm hoping accurate. This is the 1% because you tweeted about this, Brad. Mm-hmm. You've been saying, this is so good. This is so good. This is so good. Strofe's even telling me it's so good.
It's so good.
So we're going to find out together at Hear Brad Out coming up next if it really is so good.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
I can't believe she delegated the week.
I can't believe Brad just called my woman a cat.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liss is more, and I start with the phone number because Brad Nortman has anointed today's Hear Brad Out the best ever in the history of Hear Brad Out.
That's correct.
Am I overselling what you've sold?
No, you are not. This is the greatest Hear Brad Out in the history of KBN.
Ben wow. Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Strofe with the worst haircut in the world is running the show.
Come on.
You can see it on Twitter at Ben Bruss, at KBN ESPN, or on the break screen when we do that on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Time now for the world's best ever Hear Brad Out.
They say punters are people, too.
Punters are worthy of breaking news.
No, really, that's what they say.
Raising awareness everywhere that punters are people, too.
Okay, let's go to it. Time to hear from the punter. Time to hear Brad out.
All right, guys. We got a problem in our society, folks. Christmas invades other holidays. That's just a fact. It takes over Thanksgiving. It takes over even Halloween. And there's no greater victim to Christmas taking over than Thanksgiving, of course. And the biggest culprit of this is Christmas music. We start hearing Christmas music already. Well, I got a solution, boys. To push back and give the most effective way to make sure Thanksgiving has its day.
Wait, we're pushing back Thanksgiving?
No, I'm pushing back Christmas music. The idea of Thanksgiving carols. That's right, thankful tunes, turkey tracks. Hey, get my pilgrim playlist going. I've got an idea that the day after Halloween, a new cultural shift of Thanksgiving music takes place and that allows Thanksgiving to have its own month leading up to it, pushing back the Christmas carols and allowing us to truly cherish Thanksgiving with Thanksgiving carols. And thanks to the power of AI, I was able to get a glimpse of what this might look like. Now, let me start with a couple of selections that will take over our airwaves when Thanksgiving tunes hit our world. The first one, warm, nostalgic, the smooth baritone traditional sounds of the 40s and 50s. Let me introduce you to the Feast of Thanks.
The day is bright, candles glowing, golden light, hearts are full, the table gleams, a harvest built from humble dreams. Lift your voice, enjoy and cheer. The feast of thanks is finally here. Raise your hearts, your glasses too, for love and peace the whole year through.
Yeah! Now that, I'm a sucker for the nostalgic tunes like that. That one I would have on repeat. And speaking about repeat, there are certain songs that just get lodged in your head. Now, those, like, you know, you listen to those, but there are certain songs that even the Christmas era has that is just not Christmas until you hear it.
One
and
quick
it gets
chime in
wedged
here.
In your head. So, without further ado, the modern, the pop, the get stuck in your head Thanksgiving anthem, Grateful Table.
There's a place at the table for stories and laughter. A seat for each soul that we hold ever after. The place may be crowded, but hearts overflow with warmth that no tinsel or snowfall could show. We'll sing for the harvest, the hearth and the home, for the fields and the hands that have helped it to grow. While jingles may whisper of sleighs in the air, we've got our own music of love and good care. We'll sing for the harvest, the hearth and the home, for the fields and the hands that have helped it to grow. While jingles may whisper of sleighs in the air, we've got our own music of love.
Can I ask a question?
I do have the lyrics too, by the way.
Okay, because I hear mentions of sleighs. Is she saying no sleighs in the air? Or is she
sleighs.
Talking,
like sleigh, like Santa's sleigh.
I heard.
She said
heard,
no sleigh in the air, or are there
I
sleighs?
Heard no slaves.
No sleigh.
I heard slaves.
Well, I thought I heard sleighs, but I said, what is sleigh? So are they taking shots at Christmas, or is she talking about sleighs?
She's like, no sleighs in the air. This is about Thanksgiving.
No, she did say no sleighs.
We'll sing for the harvest, the hearth and the home, for the fields and the hands that it's helped to grow. While jingles may whisper of sleighs in the air, we've got our own music of love and good care. Sleighs, like Santa's sleigh.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
And finally.
Is this the last one?
This is the last one.
Thank God.
This is the last one. No holiday celebration is complete without a whimsical, funny, a movie-centric one. I'm envisioning Pixar coming out with a movie, a Thanksgiving, heartwarming movie, maybe about a turkey that's an underdog. A song that will be
an
the marquee.
Underdog turkey?
Rudolph.
Rudolph was an underdog.
A marquee that will be on our airwaves, on our TV screens, and there will be a song that comes from it that we're also going to enjoy, the Turkey Tango.
To the turkey tango, left to right. Flap the wings, it's a feathery sight. Gobble, gobble, twist and spin. Let the Thanksgiving pay begin. Uncle Joe's joke lands like a brick. Grandpa's story is the party trick.
This one's pretty good.
Through the air. Grandma's glare says, don't you dare. Stuffing stuck to the chandelier. Mom's wine is gone, it disappeared. To the turkey tango, left and right. Flapberry sauce,
well,
I think we're mocking Thanksgiving now.
Well, boys,
we're taking shots at everyone's characters.
To review,
Grandpa snoring, Mom's wine is gone.
To review, Thanksgiving.
It's just character shots of families.
Thanksgiving carols will be able to allow us to appreciate Thanksgiving, push back Christmas to its rightful time. We got the warm, nostalgic baritone hit of the Feast of Thanks. We got the pop sensation of Grateful Table. That one's going to get stuck in your head. And oh, the whimsical, silly Turkey Tango.
DJ Strofe.
Yeah.
I'm glad you gave it a shot. I'm just disappointed in Brad Nortman's character.
Oh, wow.
If I know something about Bradley, he's a very religious individual.
Yes.
And now you've decided to give less shine to Christmas to give it to Thanksgiving?
That's true.
Well,
what kind of Brad Norton? You're getting cold now.
Jesus' birthday's important.
A part of following Jesus is a grateful heart. I think you'd want us to enjoy Thanksgiving a little bit too. How about that?
That was a good point. The thought was interesting because I agree that Thanksgiving doesn't always get what it deserves. Yes. Though
it gets what it deserves. All get together, we tell stories, we drink, we watch football.
Kids make
we play
little turkeys.
Games.
There's a lot. But I give the Christmas music. And at first, when I said okay to play, I even Googled Thanksgiving music to see if there was Thanksgiving music. And then when you gave the options sucked.
What?
They weren't good.
You're gonna tell me and tell my AI compadre.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It's not a good
idea. B-Rad, you oversold and underdelivered.
You didn't like the Feast of Thanks or Grateful Table?
Can we replace Hear Brad out with Hear AI out for a while?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I
thought you guys were visionaries.
No, Strofe gassed you up because he liked the music. He was doing the Dirty Bird.
Apple Man is really mad while pruning.
Oh,
Joe
wow.
and the Boonies, you mean to tell me I waited hours, even stay in my car? To keep this show on, to have Brad play AI Thanksgiving music?
Yes.
Swing and a miss. Just listen to Adam Sandler's SNL for crying out loud.
No, this is better than that. This is legitimate. And I have multiple genres.
Oh, Brad, you're getting killed, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's bad out here.
I feel bad for everyone that they don't want to accept the real leaning into Thanksgiving.
You know.
And there's no better way to do that than to bless our ears with the sounds of these songs.
We're all saved by the bold, the beautiful Rob Domofsky, who I see waiting to join us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Swing and a miss was Hear Brad Out, but Rob always hits next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
I don't value that.
You don't value much. You don't.
That's not true.
No, that's true.
Well, you guys are coming at me a little too much.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There are certain organizations that can't get certain positions right. The Bears can't get a quarterback.
Bold, bald, beautiful.
I'm one small, bald man.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter Rob Domofsky.
To me, their window is now wide open.
On Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Joining us now is Rob Domofsky, I believe, from Lambeau Field. I'm Kyle Bruston Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. See the bold, the ball, the beautiful Rob Domofsky on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. What's up, Rob? Testing 1, 2, 3. Strofe got a really, really bad haircut, if you can hear me, Rob. So he's a little flustered about everything going on in his life. Hopefully you could see. I know he can hear me because he's smiling. Were you able to see the break screen so you can see how bad that haircut was? Yeah. Yeah, he's shaking his head yes and smiling.
Oh, no, it's made it all the way to Rob.
So while Strofe continues to effort to get
Rob can hear us. Should I tell him to hear Brad out while we wait?
He says yes.
All right, Rob, here we go.
It's a waste of time.
Christmas has taken over the Thanksgiving holiday. It's time that we push back to put Christmas where it belongs. And we the only way to do that, because Christmas music is the biggest culprit of doing this, Thanksgiving music, coined as thankful tunes, turkey tracks, pilgrim playlists. I came up with three just bangers, using a little bit of AI, of Thanksgiving music to fill our airwaves.
We can only play them a little bit of the turkey twist.
Truly appreciate Thanksgiving. We push back Christmas music and we create Thanksgiving music. Now, Rob, I guess we can't hear you, but even just a thumbs up is all I need to know that Brad got a win
this
week.
Or I'd say we have Strofe give him a call. What do we think about that, Strofe? Yeah, we're gonna have Brad
marinate on that, Rob. Marinate on that for a minute. And if you really want, we can play you.
Yeah,
the
we didn't really have a chance. Everyone else buried you, Brad. It was horrible. I had a thought as a post-Thanksgiving Christmas tree guy that that's too short of a time that I actually want to move into the, like, as soon as Halloween's over, put the Christmas tree up.
Oh, look at you changing your tune. I know, I'm
like the Grinch, too. I think now that I have a kid, you know.
I will say, this is kind of blasphemous because you don't want to hear Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas?
I've got Grateful Table to take that.
Joining us is Rob Domofsky on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Rob, what's going on?
So, all right.
I've got thoughts on this. I went to see a guy called Will Varley. He's a British singer-songwriter with a new album out. He was at Shank Hall the other night in Milwaukee, and he has a song called Machines Will Never Learn to Make Mistakes Like Me. So he was talking about how he messes up his song lyrics, but that's kind of like the idea of it, and it's better than AI music. And I'm going with my man Will Varley here. No AI music. Machines will never learn to make Thanksgiving music like someone actually writing the songs.
There you go.
All right, we'll give him 30 seconds of the turkey twist because I already know he's going to hate it.
Yeah, the turkey twist.
Okay. Gotta do the Dirty Bird.
Rivers running wild. Cranberry sauce doing freestyle. A patty pie looks kind of cursed. Who will take the first bite first?
Who?
To the turkey tango left and right.
All right, cut it off.
Rob, you hate it, right?
The most disappointing thing is I saw this tweet this morning at about 10:45 that said public service announcement today will be debatably the greatest Hear Brad Out in history. And I got really, really excited because it's part of big part of my Wednesday.
Yeah.
And
debatably the worst.
Came away disappointed.
Oh, Rob.
KBN, we got to fix this.
Rob is the judge, jury, and executioner for Hear Brad
You're
Out.
You're executed.
So. I'm like the turkey.
Yeah.
I am like the turkey.
Yeah, you're not as delicious.
We're going to cook you and eat you.
So you got Brad's terrible.
Maybe you should covertly run these by me like in the morning before we actually put a tweet out like that.
I need a brain trust. That's part of the brand reveal, though.
Strofe had a whole panel for his Packers parody songs. You need to run your Hear Brad.
Yeah.
You ran it by Strofe today.
I ran it by Strofe, and he gassed me up, Rob. He gassed me up.
You know how teams have leadership councils, right? Like, we should have a leadership council to make sure we put the best ideas forward.
And you're not the only one. Okay. On the Carbless Talk and Text Line, a lot of people stayed for Hear Brad Out and left disappointed. But hopefully they stayed for you, as this stretch of three games are very, very critical for the outlook of the team. Now, the easy answer is, hey, I think they go 2-1. If you had to decide if they go 3-0 or 1-2, which option do you think is more realistic?
Ooh, boy, I mean, the way this team has played, I would probably be more willing to put money on 1-2 than 3-0.
Oh.
But I do think 2-1 is the likely outcome, and I think that outcome is fine. Like, I think they'll be in good position. If they do that, this is such a weird schedule. And I asked Jordan Love today, I said, does it feel like it's been a minute since he played a division game? And he's like, yeah, you know, that was back in week one. And then he goes, what week is this? 11? Actually, it's week 12, Jordan. But it's been so long since they played a division game that there's so much at stake here. And I mean, I guess if you want to look at the glass half full, they've already won as many division games as they did all of last season.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one. And they've got five more opportunities in front of them. But, you know, so this is a time of the year where I sort of start looking at the win totals, the schedule, and it's like, okay, how do they get to, we'll just say 10 wins? Like, how do they get there? Well, I think probably winning two of these three almost has to happen.
A follow-up for me, Rob, is through these 11 weeks heading into week 12, one thing that stood out to you most that people would be excited about for this team, and the biggest thing that stands out from you're nervous?
Well, the nervous part is a couple of things. I mean, it's the offensive line play. It's the whole idea that while special teams hasn't been a killer of late, although the missed kick by Haversick or kicks by Haversick is problematic, you're just sort of waiting for another special teams meltdown to come. But like on the plus side, I think Jordan Love's played really well for the most part. They've had some scoring droughts, but he's not turning the ball over. And to me, like, you know, what has his problem been come playoff time? I mean, there was the terrible interception at the end of the San Francisco game. And how many picks did he throw against Philly last year? Was it two or was it?
I think it was two.
In the playoff game.
Two in the playoff game.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, to me, that's a good sign that he, I mean, he's only thrown what? He's three picks all year?
Three picks.
Or is it only two? Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who has thrown 11 picks, if I'm not mistaken, in each of his first 2 years as a starter. So I think that's encouraging.
I agree, very encouraging. But something that I heard Matt LaFleur say, are you buying Matt LaFleur's take on Rashawn Gary's snap count being less than Kingsley Enagbare simply because of the, you know, flow of the game? Are you buying that, or do you think there's something more to it?
Yeah, it was a byproduct of the game, I think, is what is what we heard. I mean, like, you know, he did say that Kingsley Enagbare has earned more snaps. Okay, fine. But has he earned more snaps than the guy who's got, like, the second highest cap number on the team? Like, I don't know if I'd go there. I mean, Rashawn Gary, and you know, he said he's never been a high-volume snap guy. Well, I'm not so sure that's true. Let's look at his snap percentages from last season. So last season he played 59% of the defensive snaps, which I guess it's a little bit low for a guy making that money. And he played in all 17 games last year. So, you know, now that I look at this, last season he never played more than, I'm just scanning this real quick, 68% of the defensive plays.
But he played 60% of the snaps up until week 9.
Yeah, well, and what did he play yesterday, or Monday, 54? So he's not – LaFleur's right. I never really actually looked at it. He's never been a high-snap guy. So why the heck did you pay him all the money?
That was my next follow-up. Then that is a bad contract.
Like, I agree. Yeah, it looks even worse right now. I guess the plus side is, you know, they can try to trade him in the offseason, although I think that – no one's going to
take on that
his contract
hit.
Because he's owed like his base is like $18 million next season, but you know they can cut him and save a decent chunk of change if they cut him, you know, just right after the season, you know, without waiting till the June 1 designation. Although you can cut someone before June 1 and give him that designation, they would save $11 million in cap space. If they did the post June 1, they'd be almost $20 million. So. I think this guy's playing for his 2026 future.
$20 million. Send him packing, Rob. Send him packing.
Yeah. Oh, he can change that.
Yeah,
maybe he'll take a
I said could.
Yes, I don't know.
I'm just gonna be very honest. I've seen enough to Rashawn Gary and other guys.
Because he does it in bulk too, and if he does it in bulk at the right time, you don't want to get, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's been, I don't know if disappointing is the right word. But maybe the most surprising thing to me is that, you know, the Micah Parsons effect, where it was supposed to free other guys up for more plays, it did initially. I mean, Gary had some plays, you know, early on, but it doesn't seem like it's carried over, and it seems like, you know, water has sort of found its level with Rashawn Gary.
Rob, I forget personally how transformative Jaden Reed is to this offense, something that can maybe kick it into a different gear. When should we expect him to be back in the lineup?
Yeah, I thought there was a really good chance, Brad, that we would see him on the practice field today, and that did not happen. So you would think that it's probably not this week where he begins to practice, and the history would show you that they don't play a guy the first week that he comes back to practice. So I would think whenever he comes back to practice, let's say he starts practicing, well, next week they're not going to practice. See, this is weird because of the Thanksgiving game. So, boy, I would think that the earliest chance he could probably play is Chicago is after Thanksgiving. What's the game after Chicago? Denver.
Denver?
Yeah. Oof, it's a long way away.
It is a long way away, Kyle. It might be.
I can't believe you just confused Kyle's voice for
I
Brad's.
I think we
that
say,
sounds sweaty.
Well, he said woo.
The Brookfield boy.
That woo-ee was out of my
face. I knew what it was.
Spending all that time with Kyle.
Yeah, getting some swag.
You know, Rob, quickly before we let you go, and we appreciate you joining on what you thought was going to be such a powerful day for Hear Brad Out as a big supporter of this, is Rob Domofsky, is an ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Packers. Join us here on Kyle Bruston-Nortman. Is the vibe in the building good? Like, what's your feel from, like, this team? Like, you've been around these locker rooms. Does this feel like a team that still has the belief that they can do the ultimate thing that all fans are looking for? Or do you not see or feel that at this point in the season?
Well, I don't know that you ever feel – it's easy to say, you know, when you look back that you felt it or didn't feel it. I think it's hard in the moment to identify that because – there's just so many guys, right? It depends on, you know, it's not like a basketball team where there's, you know, 14 guys on the team, but 7 or 8 who really matter. I mean, you might talk to one guy and think, oh yeah, this team is right where it needs to be. And you might talk to another guy and you might get the feeling, yeah, he thinks they're going nowhere. Now, I can't tell you I've talked to a player that has giving me that vibe at this point. But I do think it's hard in the moment to know where they're at. I don't think this is a team that, you know, has given up on anybody yet. They backed each other. No one's splitting apart. I mean, they are 6-3-1, you know. I mean, if you just look down at the standings and you looked at Green Bay Packers, 6-3-1, you know, I think people would probably, and I'll give you a perfect example. Before the game in New York last week, down talking to some of the Giants writers, and one of them comes up to me and they're like, is Matt LaFleur really on the hot seat? I mean, they're 5-3-1. They've made the playoffs, you know, almost every year that he's been here. People around here would just give anything for that kind of a track record. And I said, well, you know, this isn't the New York Giants.
Yes, correct.
You know, this is the things are, you know, it's high expectations here, and they have not, you know, been to a NFC Championship game since what, 2020?
Yes, they went 19-20, and then lost 21 as the one seed. Yeah. Well, Rob, we appreciate the time, and go enjoy some real music, not some AI music.
I will definitely do that. We'll be seeing you guys.
That's Rob Domofsky joining Kyle, Brust, and Nortman.
Rob's good. He's always good.
Rob is always good.
We don't let that get back to our other guests.
No, Rob is always in sync. Like, me and Rob validates me.
Huh.
We feel the same way.
He's the yin to your yang.
You know, literally, Rob and I have the same thought process when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. We're like,
he said they're going to go 2-1, most likely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that didn't rub you the wrong way.
And if choosing between 3-0 and 1-2, I mean, you can't in sync?
You can't be perfect. But, you know, the Rashawn Gary thing, it seems like he was on
something. So you'd marry him as a Packer fan.
He's not a fan. He's a journalist, but he's a realist too, and he keeps it real. That was real. $20 million. Ooh, Rashawn better be gone.
Yeah.
Goody's looking at who can I get? Who can
Grim
I get?
Grim Reaper.
That's what he brought. That's why. That's why he could bring
the
in
Grim Goody.
Michael Parsons, because he knew he was going to get rid of Rashawn Gary. He'll free us from cap space.
And Kenny Clark's already off the books too.
Yep. Bye bye.
Wrap just up the ESPN Wisconsin anybody. Portion. I'm sure Kyle will just talk about Rob Domofsky with us during the break. And make sure you go to the break screen on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison to see the worst haircut in the world that Alex Strofe got.
Rustin Nortman.
I put my card in. I pump. When it clicks, I pull it out. I put it away, and I move on to my own.
That's what she said. Thank you. Thanks so much, Ulti.
She pumps and moves on with her life.
Take it out, put it in, move
down.
That's
what she said.
Come on, Kyle. Keep up. That's Packers Hall of Famer. That was one of my better ones, and he's confused.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's a Marquette.
Love heading to the Princeton Club of New Berlin. You have Madison locations as well. Open 24/7. Free childcare with the membership. And they have that strong community environment. When you walk in, you feel people around you cheering for you to have a great workout. Helpful people. Like, you just, like, I always walk away not just happy from the workout, but happy from my overall experience. Hit the steam room, hit the sauna, get the tour, because you got to have a strong body, a strong mind, and help provide a strong community at the Princeton Club. So whatever your goal is, simply get a tour and get started, and you will find your better tomorrow. It's Kyle, Brust, and Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Get us on the ESPN Wisconsin app, YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, and of course the Carbless Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776. This last portion of the ESPN Wisconsin hour before the 4-4 hour at 4 on ESPN Milwaukee belongs to Alex Strofe, who we ambushed because he did not know for 18 hours he had a butchered haircut in the back. What we discussed upstairs, or at least I did, was it's at a point where, like, it will, your hair right now, it won't be able to look great. Well, you get it look okay because of the way that it's faded all the way up high, and like you're in a bad spot. So where are you, Alex Strofe, 2 hours later after finding out you've been living with the worst haircut in the world?
Well, a portion of this is, I mean, had I not had to attend not only a wedding, but like a significant in terms of my family or my girlfriend's family or sister's getting married.
Oh, that's your family now.
It's a significant wedding in terms of that. So if it was just a normal wedding where I'm just a normal person and, you know, I'm just a guy, a jag. Yeah. If I was a jag, I'd just roll with it. I wouldn't care. But the fact that is, like, I'm going to be
it's
in
the first
photos,
thing your girlfriend texted you when she landed. is you got to get it fixed.
I don't
I mean, it's
not even like, hey, I love you, I can't wait to see you. You got to get it fixed.
Can you just said that too, but after that,
can you when you take photos, is there just a way that you can just kind of maybe crop out the side of the head? I'm not sure. Angles you can only do.
I don't know. I'm not a photographer, but what I'm gonna do, I think. So I've looked at a few salons in the last 2 hours. Uh-huh. I don't think I want to pay salon prices for the second day in a row.
But this is an emergency.
Yeah, so now you're going to go to even less of a professional?
I think I'm just going to go to like a normal chain and say, hey, I got screwed up. What do you think I can do? What can you do?
Oh, wow. What if they say, if we can't do anything?
Sure, hon, I got you.
Then I'll try.
We got Cindy over there. She's new.
She started the day.
She's in beauty school. She needs a new head to work on.
You're her first customer.
If they'd probably mess with me. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm going to try to get a haircut after the show.
I don't think there's anything they can do.
There's something they can do, but like they can't do much.
Somebody gave me the suggestion of a skin fade, but I don't think
that's skin fade.
I don't think my hair is designed for that.
No, your scalp's probably way too white.
She cut it.
Good point.
Too low.
My ears are too big.
Oh my gosh. Your ears are big. Your scalp's too white. Too many issues. Jim, Matt, and Molly in Madison. Dan Sports Show in Beaver Dam. We're up next on YouTube and 94.5 ESPN. 2 minutes.
Grab it.